this is a special show. This is will be the first. Well, actually, I shouldn't say that because we drank a Beer Cave beer in the pre-show. All of the beer in Pints and Pairings is being brought to you by the Beer Cave, which is located at Village Common, located on Village Commons Boulevard in Camarillo. So you drive down there; it's right by the soccer fields. Make sure you tell Mo that you heard about it here. He is usually working behind the counter, or Sammy, who is the owner manager, that you heard about the Beer Cave here. A great selection of beers, and I am so stoked to have a beer sponsor. It's so nice that you know, I can walk in and say, okay, these are the shows we're doing, and go pick out a couple samples, bring it back. You can see their
right
logo
down the road.
You can see their logo right in the bottom left hand corner of the screen, the Beer Cave. And of course, there was links on the Pints and Pairings page. Today, in this episode, actually, I should say, we are exploring BJCP category number. I just pulled it
15,
up.
15, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Because 14 was our IPA bundle, and we went right. A through D and the IPAs, which means we are now shifting into the German wheat and rye beers.
Right. And I, there's. What, four different kinds? There's the Weizen, so you're talking about the Hefeweizen beers, plain old wheat beers, Crystal Weizens. There's some other ones. Generally, people, when you think of a German wheat beer, you're thinking Hefeweizen for a good reason. They're quite popular. People love them.
And they're very approachable. Just to be that guy, they're a great transition beer for women as well, because they're often very fruity. There's an effervescence to them. And for those ladies who are either used to drinking wine or cocktails, that are interested in beer but not sure how ready they are, a Hefeweizen is a good way to go.
Well, and especially for people who are afraid that if they go to a dark beer that they're not going to like it. And so one of the reasons why I think these are so approachable is that, one, they come, they're light-colored, and two, a lot of times the bars are putting some foo-foo fruit on it, so an orange or a lemon slice, which you do not need in these beers at all. So you've got the Weizen beers, you've got the Dunkelweizen, which we're going to taste today, one of my favorite ones, and then you have the Weizen Bock, which is of all of these beers is my favorite. Did I just say this one was my favorite? The Dunkelweizen is my favorite.
You know, except for maybe the lagers and pilsners, I think every category at some threshold of the show you've said this was your favorite.
This is my favorite. And then we've come to the Rogan beers, which is the rye beers. Now this one is my favorite. But so seriously, the wheat beers or the rye beers, German rye beers, there's a bunch of them out now, and a lot of domestic examples. Great Divide is one that comes to my mind right away. Haas, I think it is.
Yes.
And fantastic rye lager. Just and super crisp.
The beauty
and clean
of rye is the layers and complexity of flavor available. The rye, I mean, think of a slice of rye bread. If we want to get into the food element right away, the spiciness, the pepperiness, the little bit of dark molassesy sweetness that comes out in the finish. Rye gives you great flavor. No one can deny the platform that rye allows.
Mm-hmm.
So and if you do, come see us. We'll have words.
There you go. The Weizen beers are best fresh. Okay, so you don't want to, they're not going to age very long. You're
now,
talking like 4%
now
beers.
Curtis, you know what I'm going to get into. You said best fresh, but it's from Germany, is it not?
Well, so this, exactly. So, I mean, there's a give and take on these, especially if you're drinking a German example. They're going to taste fresh. They're going to taste better in Germany than they are going to be here, just because they're going to get bottled, they're going to get put on a boat and shipped here. Or if you go to, there's plenty of continental, what do I want to say, domestic breweries that are making German-style Hefeweizens. And one of them here, I've just for a shout out to Trader Joe's, because their brands are solid versions of the beers. And they're the Trader Joe's. This is the Joseph Brau Brewing Company, which is in San Jose, I think. But this
Joseph
is
Brau.
Yeah, Joseph Brau. 5.3 Hefeweizen unfiltered wheat beer. Really nice example of the beer. And you know, it's going to be fresh. I mean, fresher, especially for us here in California, where it's just right up the coast from us.
Yeah.
So you want to make sure that you're drinking it fresh. The Hefeweizen Dark or the Dunkelweizens. Here, go ahead and pour that one.
Labeled that one, yeah.
Is these ones, you know, what's surprising to me about this one is it's not as dark as like the Franziskaner Dunkel, which is really dark. There you go. This one is a little, this is a shade or two less than
It's
that.
Almost an amber color.
Yeah.
It doesn't have, like you said, that kind of toasted or dark pumpkin skin color that you typically find where it's very rich, but that doesn't necessarily mean it's bad. I had a great black IPA the other day that was basically brown. So you never know what you're going to get.
Just depends. So one of the features that I like about the Dunkelweizens is because the grains were kilned a little longer, they're using some darker grains in there. There's a different sort of sugar in there. It's a deeper, more brown sugary kind of flavor.
Almost a cane sugar in the raw kind of smell.
Very good. That one, and so it adds another layer of flavor interest to it. Can you check to see what the ABV is on this one?
So it is 5.3.
So this one is a lot. It's still in that nice light range. These ones, along with the Hefeweizen, you could get in a liter stein, enjoy throughout the meal kind of thing. I wouldn't suggest that you try and operate heavy machinery after that, but you could finish a liter of this.
What's nice too is they give you the instructions on the label, because knowing the nature of this beer, you want to store it properly. It says right on the label, store dark and keep cool, 46 to 52 degrees Fahrenheit. And that's an optimal temperature and an environment for this beer to thrive. I think the nose and the palate match up really well. We talked about the cane sugar and the raw kind of smell. It's followed by a little bit of a honey note on the palate, like a darker, richer clover or even avocado kind of honey. It's kind of nice.
Well, and we just really mentioned fruit with wheat beers in the pre-show. And if we were doing Hefeweizen, we could talk about fruit for quite a while, just as a pairing opportunity or option. With this beer, there's such a wonderful spice and residual sweetness that I think I don't know. I wouldn't go any further than desserts. I mean, this is just, it screams to me bread pudding. It screams to me maybe even ginger snaps. So, you know, these kinds of spicy sorts of desserts that have a spice in them. Pumpkin pie.
You're going down a great path. And what's awesome about this is we've had a few weeks off out of studio with different events in our lives. It couldn't have worked out better. We're right in the midst of the season and the weather and time frame of the year that's perfect for these kind of beers. It's a little cooler in the air. The leaves are changing colors in a lot of the country or they're falling. You've got those spicy kind of holiday focus from a lot of people. And we're drinking these beers in the time frame that most mirrors what their flavor profiles are bringing out.
And I'm talking about some heavier desserts here, too. You know, pumpkin pie, there's really nothing light about a pumpkin pie.
No, the nutmeg and the cinnamon and those heavy, rich, savory spices in a pumpkin pie are really pronounced.
Well, and so that leads to another thing that we don't talk about very often is the mouthfeel on this beer, the body of this beer too. So we're talking some really heavy desserts, and here we have a fairly light bodied beer. This is a medium light bodied beer. So you can go ahead and enjoy this with the dessert without feeling like you're going to double up on anything. Whereas if you look at the next one, the 15C, which is the Weizenbock. Now you're talking something that comes in at 6.5%, has a huge body, and can really weigh you down.
Sure.
with those desserts. The Weizenbock in itself is its own dessert beer.
And this one plays interestingly on the palate when we're talking about that mouthfeel and the body, because it leaves for me a little bit of a caramel kind of film, mm-hmm. but yet there's a crispness to the beer in general, especially on the last finish. So I don't know. It doesn't go either way for me in terms of it's too heavy and too much body, or it's too light and crisp and dissipates. It sits nice in the middle.
It's a well-balanced beer that way. And the fact that it's it has a higher carbonation. So you look at wheat beers too, which will naturally have a little higher carbonation due to a lot of times that they were bottle conditioned, and so there can be, these ones aren't necessarily bottle conditioned, but that helped kind of put the style together, a higher carbonation level, which kind of picks it up and makes it feel like a lighter body. Also, the aromas kind of are able to escape as well. You know, when you pour these things too, we're drinking them out of a snifter right here. Go this way for the camera. We pour them into a snifter, but these are generally served, if you're going to get these at a bar, they're in a 24 ounce
that's a little
like
more
a Pilsner glass, and they have a big bulb at the end.
So really allowing those aromas not to escape quickly.
Right, and because they know that there's a lot of carbonation, it's going to have a giant head on it to begin with. And so that glass has to be able to hold that 22-ounce bottle, whatever that is, 16-ounce bottle. That glass has to be able to hold that pour. And that's one of the reasons why they're shaped that way, they're that big, because there's a lot of carbonation in it. The proteins from the wheat also give it a giant head too that facilitates that. And then all of those aromas are just bowled up inside there. So whenever you take a drink, you're just sticking your nose right into that, right into the thick of the aroma.
You know, you were talking about those desserts that give you that warmth and the spice and the richness and kind of subtle sweetnesses. We're thinking through that profile. This beer to me lends itself as a possibility for a cask pour as well. I don't know that it would be typical around, you know, the United States. Cask is still a movement that's gaining momentum, but isn't really as popular yet. But the underlying spiciness and a little bit of dark sugary sweetness that's in this beer would open up more, in my opinion, if it was a little warmer, a little less carbonation coming out of a cask, and it would pair great with some of those desserts. You know, zucchini bread comes to mind as something interesting, because you get a little herbaceous kick against the sweetness. But you could also move into some of your darker, richer games. If we look at, you know, a nice darker piece of pork simmered slow in a stew with some rich spices, some great vegetables, you know, like carrots and potatoes, the heartiness of that matches well with the beer as well.
Well, the beer will certainly hold up against the flavors too. It's not going to be overpowered by a rich, gamey flavor. It's going to add to it. I'm not very, I don't do a lot of braises. I don't do a lot of reduction things. But if you were to do even a reduction sauce that had some sort of residual sweetness, and I'm just thinking even a sweeter barbecue sauce, but not barbecue. So if you can think of something, you know, if you can relate to it, then jump in. But I'm just thinking, like, if it had the nutmeg or cinnamon spices in it, whether it was a rub or a reduction sauce, a glaze over it, then if it had those similar sorts of brown sugar flavors, then, you know, that's something that you
could
put together.
Definitely get to that point. If you slow roasted a great piece of pork or boar, or even maybe some I think lamb, and that would be a little too rich, but maybe even a duck, and take that au jus and then slowly reduce that down. You could add a little bit of brown sugar, you could add some updated spices, maybe even a little zest of citrus, just to give it some vibrancy. You're going to end up with a great semi-sweet kind of a conflict of sweet versus savory glaze and rub that you could put with that meat that would go great with this. I think you're on track in terms of partnering the styles and the profile.
Mm-hmm. Well, that kind of leads down where I would normally leave this to winter warmer kind of things, but talking about like a goose or something like what you were just talking about, a duck, a goose, but then a Christmas, Thanksgiving style celebration dinner where you've got that glaze or the sauce along with it too. So where this isn't going to be, it won't overpower, say, a duck or turkey, but I'm trying to think if I've ever had goose. I don't even know if I've had goose.
I haven't had goose. We're going to be trying to do that this Christmas just for something unique. But kind of going through those traditional Christmas movies too, what do they always put with goose? And it's berries. Now, we're not talking about raspberries and cherries necessarily, although I think cherry may be something as an opportunity here, but you're not like the summer berries. We're talking more the winter berries, right. Golden berries, boysenberries, elderberries, gooseberries, just to be that combination. But those slightly tart but rich, darker berries would be a good opportunity.
Right. I think a dark cherry with this would be really nice too. You know, there's the sweetness of the beer, which would help kind of, I don't know, maybe balance the tartness. But then also the spicing in this too would add a nice spice to the cherry, maybe even a cherry sauce.
We've talked about this numerous times in the past with a beer of this color and this level of spice. But a great creme brulee or a custard kind of thing is going to be an easy one too. That's a softball, you know, where you can just knock it out of the park.
It may be a softball, but I'd been thinking about bread puddings and some of these other things.
And you're
too.
Going heavier and rich, but that light and fluffy custard with a little bit of caramelized sugar on top, or that luscious vanilla aspect is going to be awesome.
Yeah. So I'm so glad that you said that too, because that could have just kind of floated off and not been there. And I don't think people are necessarily think that that's a traditional or even a standard sort of pairing. So I'm glad that you pulled that one out, because that would be even...
We don't want that to get lost in the ether.
No, we don't want that to be lost. And one of the really nice things about that too is it's... I've had Trader Joe's creme brulees and some of their other desserts that are just fantastic. And so they're super easy. They're frozen. And so you don't have to sit there and you don't have to get out your little torch and caramelize the sugars.
No, you bring out a little bit of garnish on a fancy homemade plate. And you're like, look what I did.
Put it in your own little porcelain dish and you look, there it is. It's a great way, easy way to experiment with some of these foods.
And
too.
Just to carry that forward, one other thing I'm thinking of, to kind of get obscured outside the box a little bit, if you can go with a hearty fish that you put some great caramelization on and maybe kind of a beurre blanc blood orange sauce or something, where it gives you that vanilla buttery richness with a little pinch of vibrancy, and a hearty fish that would stand up to the sweetness and the spice in this, could be an interesting way to go. It's going to give you a unique opportunity to show off for your friends if it works well, or a great excuse for pizza if it doesn't come out as good.
Yeah, I don't even know. Fish is of all the meats. I mean, I haven't ever had goose, but I would say that I know less about fish than I do about goose.
Fish can be very intimidating. you know, especially fish is one of those that even with wine drinkers, they typically will gravitate to what is expected or what's suggested. White wine with fish and chicken. Light beers with fish and chicken. But depending on the sauces, the side dishes, and the heartiness of the fish, especially if it has a great fatty content, even though it's a firm fish, a darker beer isn't outside the realm of possibility.
Right. I think we've pretty well wrapped up the Dunkelweiss.
I hope so. I hope we put a cap on it, because it's a delicious beer. But there's, as with all the beer styles we've gone through, a vast, vast array of creativity that you can put out there.
Definitely.
And if you like playing in the kitchen and you like drinking beer, why not put things together?
Right. And don't be afraid of the Dunkel aspect, or when it says Weissbier dark. There is nothing roasty. There is nothing bitter about this beer. It is full of wonderful spices, a perfect balance of sweet and spice. So make sure that you give it a shot, especially if a Hefeweizen is one of your favorite beer styles.
And I'm proud and gushing at the fact that we have a live viewer who is catching our suggestions and gave a thumbs up for the fish and orange beurre blanc.
Very good. Who did we shout out to him? No.
We'll make sure we get her approval first.
Okay. Well, thanks for the shout out and the suggestion, or the thumbs up for that suggestion. Let's cap this one then.
Let's do it.
All right. So it's another great shout out to the Beer Cave, and I'm only gonna like gush over them for the next few episodes, and then we'll settle into a nice sort of routine with them. But this is the Vine Stefaner Hefeweizen Dark, or the Dunkelweizen, as it's Hefeweizen Dunkel, as it's known in Germany, and so.
Remember to find us on iTunes with past episodes, as well as hopheadsaid.com/pints-pairings or everybodyshungry.org/pintsandpairings. We're also going to be broadcasting through Google Plus Hangouts on air for a little while. We'll see how we like this moving forward. You can find us on the Curtis Taylor YouTube channel.
Hophead Said YouTube, Facebook, like us, iTunes, give us a like at Pints and Pairings.
And use hashtag Pints and Pairings if you're throwing out pictures or your own recipe suggestions, as well as hashtag Beer Suggestioneers. Give us a shout.
That's super. And as always, I want to remind you to eat, drink, and be happy.
Yes, sir. We'll see you at the next pour.
Cool.